You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. It is Iron Skillet Week, but first we've got to talk about one of the most improbable wins that I've seen SMU bring home this past weekend, which was beating Louisiana Tech on a Hail Mary that Reggie Roberson caught from Rashee Rice. The tip ball went for the game-winning score on the final play. An unreal play to watch. And look, I had to rewatch the entire game, but was able to catch about the first quarter and a half, a little bit of the third, and then watched about the final drive just on my phone right before that wedding I told you guys about last pod. And look, I mean, it always seems to work out that way. Whenever you've got something else going on or something in life pops up, the game of the year comes and falls right in your lap. And that we'll see if that ends up being the game of the year. It certainly is probably going to be the finish of the year for SMU in all likelihood. I mean, how do you top that? But let's take a step back and kind of recap kind of my thoughts quickly on that game. I think there are a few things that stand out to me that SMU really needs to fix. First of all, one, let's lead off with the red zone issues. They were horrible, in my opinion, in the red zone. They managed to score a couple times, but it was a game that SMU really should have been in a little bit more control of, in my opinion. I mean, you take 11 points off the board, and on the flip side of that, you allow Louisiana Tech to drive 99 yards for a score after one of those missed opportunities. And when you're at the one, because I do want to touch on that, when you're at the one-yard line, it, for the most part, comes down to executing if you're a player, getting a push, and getting across the line. But I will lead off with my opinion that the play call on the fourth and one was too slow developing. You know, you had a fly sweep, you had Ulysses Bentley lined up behind Tanner Mordecai in the pistol, which you like in a way that, you know, you don't know which side you're going to go if you're going to hand the ball off. But it is really something that it was too slow developing. And I think that it was something that you you know, really wanted to see them get the ball quicker into the field of play and get rolling a little bit better than they did in that regard. But still, there was lack of execution on the play. You know, they didn't get a push up front to get into the end zone. And when you look at the offensive line and a unit that they made a lot of changes to up front, they went Jalen Thomas, Hayden Howerton, Alana Lee, Justin Osborne, and then Bo Morris and Marcus Bryant from left to right. You wanted to see them get that push. And that's where I think you've got to, as a player, get there and get it across the goal line. You know, good college football teams have probably run that play before, and they've gotten a touchdown in you know, against good teams and against good fronts. So if you want to be a good football team, you've got to score there. I didn't like the play call, didn't like the execution, and I think that's what it comes down to right now with SMU in the red zone. You know, their issue kind of lies in just, I think, needing to simplify it a little bit more. They need to, you know, go to their bread and butter, go to their best players. And that's kind of the issue. I think we've seen Rashee Rice thrive a little bit in the red zone. That was a great catch by Danny Gray for a touchdown and to get his feet down and concentrate to catch the football. That was excellent. But overall, I mean, you still want SMU to be a little cleaner in the red zone. That has to be cleaned up for TCU if they're going to win that ball game. They have got to take advantage of those opportunities. Sonny Dykes touched on it in his Tuesday press conference, just cleaning up those issues, execution, looking at what they did as a coaching staff, calling plays, and as they kind of, you know, come up with some things to solve and the players to go to. I mean, I'm going to transition into a good thing. You know, Jordan Curley has to touch the ball more. And I know he plays the same spot as Reggie Roberson, and that's certainly something that keeps him off the field a little bit more than he probably should. But when he touches the ball, good things normally happen, and especially in the screen game. He just seems to have a knack for finding space and making plays, and we saw that on Saturday with his touchdown. And so I want to see Jordan Curley touch the ball a little bit more. I thought SMU's offensive line, for the most part, played fairly well. We saw a couple key holding penalties against them, but they, you know, for the most part, gave Tanner Mordecai time to operate, save for the red zone. I think overall that's kind of a major point of emphasis that SMU has to work on, and they have in practice so far this week from what we've seen. And now you switch to the defensive side of the ball, and they've got to clean up tackling. Tackling was the biggest thing that really hurt this defense because, you know, not only at times did the corners get abused a little bit, but they didn't make tackles when they needed to, and that was kind of the thing that hurt SMU, allowing some big plays. Louisiana Tech has good athletes. They're always going to have good athletes, and they know how to get them the ball. But that corner rotation, and this is as, you know, they're kind of coming back. You know, Brandon Crosley's been nicked up. Jahari Rogers has been nicked up. Armani Johnson didn't really play the first game, I don't think at all. So something was up there. You've got to get this corner rotation settled. They've got to get those guys that can make plays on the field. I think Jahari Rogers had good coverage for the most part most of the game. He just ended up kind of on the bad side of some balls. And I think it comes back to a little bit of technique work. He's got to get his head around. I talked with Jahari Rogers earlier this week, or actually on Wednesday, and he was expecting a big bounce back performance from SMU's defensive backs, and they're going to need it against TCU. You know, Quentin Johnson, you know, those guys can make plays for TCU. They're bigger bodied receivers, and you know, last time SMU played TCU, they did a great job on Jalen Reagor. Excellent work on him. But this is still a TCU team that has a lot of athletes. They like to get them the ball, and you know, they're going to be facing a running back that's coming off a huge game in Zach Evans, a former five-star prospect, and tackling has to be cleaned up. I talked with Isaac Slade Matutia, who notched his first career interception against Louisiana Tech, a big play in the game. And, you know, one, he just said it was a long time coming. He had 18 pass breakups before that one, but he really honed in on the defensive leadership, you know, up front. Delano Robinson, Shane Haley, really harping on tackling and wrapping up. And, you know, I think the rotation at times is going to get a little bit tighter as you face a better team in TCU. You want to have your best players on the field a little bit more, and I think we're going to see that now that Jim Leavitt has a few games under his belt calling plays with this defensive crew that he has to work with. I think he's going to tighten up the rotation. And I felt like, you know, one, shout out Nelson Paul. He got a little banged up in the game, so hopefully he can go against TCU. But if not, that's going to be a big loss for SMU. But Nelson Paul and Gary Wiley showed some really good things. They're pressuring the quarterback at a high level. Devere Levelston had a sack. I thought they got after Austin Kendall in a good way against Louisiana Tech. You know, they really roughed him up. He hurt his left arm, it looked like, at one point in the game, and had it all taped up pretty seriously. He's a tough dude, kept playing through it, but that's the type of thing you've got to keep doing. You've got to hammer Max Duggan this weekend against TCU. You've got to get pressure on him. You've got to get hits on him, because this TCU passing game at times is just Jekyll and Hyde. You know, they have the receivers to make it work and make it go, and they certainly have against SMU. But the one thing I felt like in 2019 that SMU did a great job of with Kevin Cain is they got after Max Duggan and really made it difficult on him, you know, just physically. You know, they hit him. They really played physical. And that's where this defense has to take the next step this week, going up against TCU. Moving on to TCU, this is a game that I am torn completely on what to do as far as the pick goes. I probably won't give you an exact score on this podcast, quite honestly. But I do expect a close game. I think the line opening at 10 was interesting. I don't think both teams have played their best football yet. You know, SMU had a fairly easy win against Abilene Christian, where they kind of woke up in the second quarter and you know, blew them out. But there's a lot to clean up on both sides. You know, Duquesne gave TCU some issues. Cal, they needed a comeback at home to beat, and who knows what that win will look like at the end of the year. But, you know, these are two football teams that haven't played their best ball, and one of them's going to have to bring it on Saturday to get a win, because this rivalry isn't the rivalry when I was in school. It isn't the rivalry of, you know, even though when I was in school, SMU beat them in 2011, it's still not the rivalry where, you know, the athletes are all on TCU's side. You know, SMU has the athletes to win this game. I think if you're looking for an X factor, it's Tanner Mordecai hooking up with Grant Calcaterra in a big way. Kylan Granson had some big games against TCU, and that's where I think they can really exploit TCU, because Grant Calcaterra is starting to show that he's a major matchup issue. He was a key part in getting that drive down inside the Louisiana Tech side of the field, the 33, to get a shot at that Hail Mary. Two receptions, two big receptions, bounced back from a drop earlier in the game, and also made a key catch that, you know, I think kind of helped them, you know, at least give them a chance on that fourth down that Tanner Mordecai didn't convert with about 4:30 to go in the game. And I touched on that in our takeaways. I think, you know, Tanner Mordecai and these receivers are still learning each other in terms of the scramble drill. I think there's lost yardage there. We've seen him scramble and try to extend plays, but they're not, in my opinion right now, connecting well enough to you know, hit the big play when things break down, save for the Hail Mary, which kind of played out exactly how you want. You know, quarterback can scramble outside the pocket, buy a little time, and then heave it to the end zone. But I just feel like there's some lost yardage there, and Tanner Mordecai just needs to know where his guys are a little bit more in that respect. Kind of nitpicky considering just how productive he's been the first 3 weeks of the year. But I think when the play breaks down, if TCU is going to get pressure on this offense, you know, which I think they will be able to just because of what we've seen from the offensive line at times this year, Tanner Mordecai is going to have to find those guys that are sitting over in the middle and, you know, found a soft spot to settle in the zone and or hit the check down even when things get hot and get it out in space and let those guys go. You know, you miss Ulysses Bentley on one, I believe missed Trey Siggers on another. They just got to connect a little bit more in the plays that break down. And another thing too, and I was talking on the radio about this earlier this week, we haven't really seen the deep ball from this offense just yet. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because, you know, Tanner Mordecai has thrown for 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns in three games. But when you're talking about this SMU offense with Reggie Robertson and Danny Gray and Rashee Rice and those guys, we have not seen them go down the field with much success. And Sonny Dykes identified that going into the Louisiana Tech game as something that they've got to clean up and they've got to hit. They take their shots. You know, as an offensive coordinator, Garrett Riley sets those things up a little bit to take those shots and say, okay, all right, we picked up six on first down, second and four, we're going to take a shot. Well, SMU's got to hit them, and they've got to make big plays against TCU. You know, we saw SMU do that a little bit against them in 2019, but they also drove the ball, and they were really able to run the football a little bit and get things going in that respect. And this is a SMU offense that is playing at a really efficient level for the most part. They need to clean up the red zone mistakes, but I don't think they've played their best football, which is, again, a good thing if you're an SMU fan going into this week. You know, I do think one thing, too, that we're going to see is Ulysses Bentley more in the return game. He made a splash there. Jordan Curley's made some splashes in the punt return game. I think SMU special teams-wise and, you know, the block PAT against Louisiana Tech aside, I mean, that should have been a penalty. You can't rush the long snapper like that. But that aside, SMU, I think, has been in a good spot special teams-wise since they missed the two kicks against Abilene Christian. Brendan Hall is proving to be a weapon, I think, in the kickoff game that we expected him to be. That first game against Abilene Christian, he was dealing with a lot of wind. I said it on the board, he would be fine, and so far he has been. And, you know, this is a game that they're going to have to make a play or two and flip the field on special teams as well. And TCU, you know, in the past against SMU, as if SMU scored, TCU has run a kickback. And that's something that they pride themselves on doing. And I think SMU special teams have to be, you know, on point. And they've got to make a play. And I think they have the athletes to do it. Both teams do. This is going to be a close one. I don't see this game being this 10-point comfortable TCU win. I just don't. I don't think we've seen the best from both teams. Both staffs, I do think, prepare a large amount for this team. I know SMU has worked a ton on TCU. This is Jim Levitt's, I believe, first time facing TCU. Not sure if they've faced off another time in his coaching career, but this is the first time that he's really seen this version of TCU, and what he brings to the table is going to be really interesting to me. We remember Kevin Kane, you know, forcing turnovers, and obviously the fourth down stop to seal the game against TCU was big in 2019. What's Jim Levitt going to dial up and dial up after a game where I think his defense probably wants a couple of those plays back against Louisiana Tech, you know, particularly with the corners and their coverage, but also when it comes to just tackling overall and making plays. And Zach Evans is a physical running back. I remember watching him multiple times in person in high school, and when he's on, he's an absolute stud and is really difficult to defend. So I'm looking for SMU to bring something special to the table defensively. I don't know how much they're going to be able to slow this team down, but getting stops when they need it is what is the name of the game these days. And that was what SMU was able to do against Louisiana Tech, to force a field goal, get the Bulldogs off the field and have a chance. And while, you know, SMU's probably hoping that doesn't come down to a, you know, a stop late to go for a Hail Mary against TCU, those are the types of stops they're going to have to get. When TCU gets on SMU's side of the field, can they hold them to a field goal? You know, Isaac Slade Matutia had a great quote today. I'll paraphrase. It was, you know, Levitt's always preaching, make them count in threes and or not at all. That's kind of the name of the game these days in college football. It's not as much stopping the offense from scoring touchdowns. It's can you hold them to threes and obviously make them not score at all. But that it's okay at times to give up yards. I mean, you don't want to. Jim Levitt will tell you that himself. You know, it's just the way college football offenses are these days. You know, that it's hard to stop them. And I think when SMU needed stops from their defense against Louisiana Tech, they got them. They let them hang around in the game. And I was pretty close on my score prediction. I didn't see it playing out like that with SMU needing one to go to the end zone. But, hey, if they execute in the red zone, they don't need that throw to the end zone. They win fairly comfortably. And that's why I think if SMU puts all that together, this can be a close game and SMU can win for the second straight time. So I'll save my prediction for Friday. I'm going to think it over a little bit more on if I think SMU actually pulls this one out. But I'm going to wrap up this edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll have your full coverage from Amon G. Carter Stadium at 11 a.m. on FS1 come Saturday, the 100th meeting of the Battle of the Iron Skillet. We'll see if Rashee Rice makes good on his statements earlier this week that SMU has something coming for TCU, and he's going to show out in his first extended action against the Horned Frogs. So keep it locked on Pony Stampede, and appreciate you guys listening to this edition of the pod, and we'll catch you next time.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.